This has been an interesting week for me. Kind of an emotional roller coaster, but it's been a good one. And I want to start with a song that kind of helps, I think, focus on where I feel like God is taking us this morning. So listen to these words, and I'll try and get through it. My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead to me. But what can be done with an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew with the wine of your blood. My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead to me. But what can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew with the wine of your blood. But what can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew with the wine of your blood. Anybody recognize that song? All right, a couple of few of you. They know the author of that one? Keith Green, yeah. Some of you know I've kind of been into Keith. I don't know why I'm going back in time, but Larry Norman, Keith Green, I'm kind of going back to some of those artists. And I recently, finished this week a book about Keith Green's life called No Compromise. Has anybody read that book, No Compromise? There's a new updated version out, which I just picked up from Amazon, so those Amazon gift cards, you might want to pick that up. But this story really spoke to me. It's a long story about his life, written by Melody. Of course, Keith died back in 1982 at the age of 28 in a plane crash. He was probably right at the height of his musical career at that time. And as I was reading the book, it was just a real thrill for me to see how God draws people to himself. And that's really the story of Keith Green. He was searching for answers, and you can just see all throughout his life where God just reached out and pulled at him, and eventually he responded and gave his life to Christ. And Keith was his personality was very dynamic. He was very bold and outgoing. And so when he made a decision to follow Christ, he made a wholehearted shift in his life. It wasn't just a half-hearted change, but a very radical transformation in his life. And it was all due to the power of God. And it happened rapidly. And as I finished this book, I guess it was about 1 o'clock Wednesday morning, I think, when I wrapped up with the book, I was just really convicted. And it's part of the journey I feel like God has me on right now. The last 10 weeks have been a different kind of journey. Feels like God is doing the same thing to me in similar ways. He's kind of reaching out and really pulling at me. And I don't have a choice but to respond. And this book was part of God's plan, I think, and really speaking to my heart. And in reading it, I thought, well, you know, I want to be like that. I want to be a person who is, I don't want to be Keith Green. I can't be him. He's a totally different person than me. But I want to be all out like he was. He had his problems. I mean, the book doesn't gloss over any of it either, and that's part of what I like about the story. They have the good and the bad in there, and even as he started as a new believer, he made lots of mistakes about how to follow God, as we all do. But I really felt like this is what I want to be. I don't want to look back on my life and realize that I've held on to things for myself. I've held on to pieces of my life. And so that's kind of where God has had me the last 10 weeks. Seems like he's had me in a vice grip in some ways, but and I haven't really known how to respond to that personally. God got my attention, but what do you want me to do? It's kind of my response to God. What am I supposed to do with this? And a couple things came to mind, really. God really pushed me in a few directions. One was just in study and reading. I buried myself in the Bible and reading some good books like this. Books about, not self-help books, not books about how to fix yourself or how to fix your church or how to whatever. You know what those books are. They really don't help anything. But books about people whose lives are transformed by God. And so that was one thing that God really gave me an appetite for. The second thing was prayer. Probably prayed more the last few weeks than I ever have in my life. God has just pushed me to my knees. And it's been a wonderful thing. It has drawn me closer to God in a lot of different ways. And the other last part that has been a focus for me is just a time of repentance. And I don't know, it doesn't seem like it's something that we talk about a lot in church nowadays, about repenting. Sometimes that's a harsh message, and we associate that with, I don't know, fire and brimstone sermons from back in the 50s or 60s. But I've just come to a realization of how important repentance is in this process of allowing God to use us. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is to focus on repentance. And I'm not sure exactly where God is taking this. I was a little frustrated with him this week because I like scripted sermons. And he didn't give me a script this week. I tried multiple times to try and put a script together, and it just didn't fall together, and I felt like God saying, no, I don't want you to put a script together. I just want you to listen to me and listen to my spirit, and I will put it together for you when the time comes. So I'm trusting that he will do that. But in the area of repentance, several scriptures came to mind in particular this week that I'd like to look at. The first one I'd like us to look at is in Isaiah. And I shared this Thursday night at our prayer time as we met together Thursday night to pray together. Isaiah 29 is one scripture that in my devotional reading this week, God really brought to my attention. And the other scripture that in my devotional reading was in Revelation. We'll look at that shortly, Revelation 3. But I first want to look at Isaiah chapter 29 and read a couple verses from there. We're going to start with verse 13 and 14. As the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. As I read that scripture, I realized that that this has often been a picture of my life. And maybe you can identify with that as well. It seems like I get in a rut sometimes of thinking that I'm doing all the things that God wants me to do, that I'm actually worshiping when I sing worship songs, and when I come near to God in prayer or when I read the Bible. But I realize a lot of those times, it really is just like it is described here, that I've honored Him with my lips, but my heart has been a long ways away. And I think this is a message, too, that each of us here need to come to grips with and look at our own hearts and ask these questions. Is this true of me? Is this true of us? And I think, to some degree, we would all have to say that it is, that we reach these points in our lives where, like Doris shared a few weeks ago, we're just kind of going through the motions. We do church and we come together and we have the same things that happen. We have worship, we have announcements, worship, offering, message. And we even say things like, wow, that was a good service. And I have people tell me, great message. But I wonder how we're changed when we leave. Are we really changed? What is happening in our hearts? Do we really allow the Scripture to work in our hearts? Or is it like this sometimes that's described here, where we're just kind of saying things, singing things, but our hearts are far from the Lord? So I want you to think about that this morning. I want to finish the time this morning with a time just for us to repent to the Lord of where our hearts, each of us has areas that we need to repent. I have no idea what they are for you. I know what God has been working in my heart, but I know God is working in each of us. And He's working on areas that He's asking us to change. And we've been resistant to that. We've listened, we've heard sermons, we've read our Bible, but we've been resistant to change, the change that God is asking for us in our lives. So I want you to think about it this morning for you, not for your neighbor, Sometimes we look at scripture like this, we think, yeah, that person over there should listen to this. Well, I'm not talking about that person over there. I'm talking about for each of us. I want us to look at our hearts. And like this song, I want God to soften our hearts because our hearts need to be pliable in His hands in order for any seed to take root and to grow. And so I think when we aren't repenting of sin in our lives, the heart is hard. And the song describes a few things. It says, my eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold. I know what I ought to be, alive to you and dead to me. And then he asks this question, but what can be done for an old heart like mine? And that's been a question that I've been asking the last few weeks. It's not that I feel that old, but in Christ I feel old. I've been a believer for how long now? 30 years? Something like that, 30 years. That's a long time to have a faith. And I think sometimes our heart gets hard and our faith gets old. And the only way to get past that is to break through those areas in our life where God wants to break through and bring new life into us. And so, before we continue, I just want to lead us in prayer that God would soften our hearts so that we are able to hear what He has to say to us, and we are able to recognize what it is that we need to repent of. And maybe we can't even see that right now, what it is. So let's pray together and we'll continue then. Father, I thank You for Your tremendous patience with us. I thank You for Your great love that You pour out on us. I thank You for how You draw us to Yourself and how You invite us to come to You. You offer complete forgiveness for us if we would only surrender to You, if we would be willing to be honest with the sin in our lives. You're waiting and ready to forgive us of that sin, to cleanse us and to make us clean. So, Father, I ask that You would soften our hearts. May Your Holy Spirit have its way among us here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The second scripture I want to look at is in Revelation chapter 3. It's probably one that you're more familiar with. And it seems a bit harsh. But I think the latter verses on this passage give us an understanding about why Jesus talks so harshly. We're going to begin at verse 14. This is to the church in Laodicea. It says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither cold, hot, nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Seems like we've often separated that last verse away from the rest of this passage that is really talking about repentance. It's talking about recognizing when it is that we are hanging on to things that really have no value. It says, you say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But God wants us to realize that we do need a lot of things. We need a lot of things in our lives, and we cannot be satisfied with where we're at. We cannot be satisfied with the things that the world has to offer, or even where we're at in our understanding of God. Because he offers us so much more, and he wants us to come to him. He wants us to be earnest and repent of what we've settled for, of the sin in our lives. He wants us to hear his voice and open the door so that he can come in and eat with us and be with us, and that we can be with him. So that's the second part of a challenge that God has given for me, and I think it's a challenge that he's giving to you this morning as well. He wants to bring us to a point of repentance, of recognizing all that he has for us. The passage in Isaiah says, therefore, once more I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. I believe that God wants to astound us, but we get stuck in places, and especially when there's sin that is unconfessed. And so I believe he's asking us to come to a place of repentance. There is sin here among us. It shouldn't be a surprise. But there's sin in the camp. And it kind of reminds me of the story of Achan in the Old Testament. If you remember that story, the Israelites had just come into the Promised Land, and they had had this tremendous victory over Jericho. And God didn't give many instructions there, but he gave one, and that was that you cannot take anything, any plunder from the city. If you remember, after that tremendous victory, they marched on to the next city, which was smaller, seemed easier to take, and they were very confident that they could just go in there and take over the city without any problem. And you remember what happened? They were soundly defeated. And so they came back together, and God took them through a process of discerning what was wrong. And they identified that one of them had sinned and disobeyed, and it was Achan. And I think that story is just a good reminder to us that sin blocks the work of the Holy Spirit. It blocks the work that God wants to accomplish. And we can't move forward until that sin is resolved until it's taken to God, and until He cleanses us of that. And I think the other thing that we don't think about often is that our sin affects everybody around us. It's not just a sin that is affecting my life, but it affects our family, it affects our church family, and in some degree I believe that it hinders people around us actually from moving forward in their walk in some way. And so when we think of the sin in our life, don't think of it just as, well, it's just my problem and I can deal with it whenever I feel like it. No, it's other people's problems as well, unfortunately. I know you know that's true because you've been affected by other people's sin. So that story, I think, reminds us that once again there is a need for repentance. There's a need for justice. And the great thing for us is that we have forgiveness. Christ offers us forgiveness. We can come freely to Him and He will wash us clean of that sin. So for the last few moments here, I just want to leave a time open for you to spend some time thinking and praying yourself. And I would encourage you to repent of the sins that God brings to your mind. Don't gloss over them. Take this opportunity to recognize them and bring them to the foot of the cross and lay them down for Christ to wash you clean. And so Larissa's going to come and play on the piano for a while. And I want to invite you as well. I don't know if anybody will take me up on this, but if you feel like there's something that you need to share with this body of believers as a part of this process that's important and what God is doing in your heart, then I encourage you to do that. Respond to Him and share what God has laid on your heart. It may be a word that you have for the rest of us. But it may be a confession that you want to make to this group. As a family, as a body of believers. So take the opportunity to do that. We're not going to have a regular sharing time at the end here. This is going to be how we close the service out. So eventually I'm going to come back up here and close in prayer. But I want to leave some time for God to do a work in us. So whatever you need to do, let's get our hearts ready and let's listen to what the Spirit has to say to us this morning. Father, thank You for Your presence here with us this morning. I thank You for Your forgiveness and Your love that You offer freely to us. But Lord, we recognize that we need to come to You and we need to offer up those parts of our lives that are not how You would like them. So, Father, we give them to You this morning. We ask that You would astound us with wonder upon wonder. We ask that our wisdom would be silenced by You and our intelligence be put to shame by You and Your greatness. I pray that our hearts would be softened so that we can receive your word, so that we can grow. And Lord, we know that growing is painful and difficult. Father, we want to grow in you. So we ask that you would do a work in us, soften us to the work of your Holy Spirit, so that we can receive your message and we can respond. Lord, we recognize that it is all a work of you in our lives. Even as we seek you, that it is really not us, but it's you drawing us to yourself. And so we just throw ourselves completely upon you and ask that you would cleanse us, that you would make us clean. You would take us to the next place that you want us to be. You would show us those next things that you have for us. That we would be willing to take the steps of faith that you're asking for us to take in obedience to the call that you've placed on our lives. But Father, we ask that. We cast ourselves upon you this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace.